That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Get all these buttons pushed and get everybody up on here with us. Got a guest this morning as well, but good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
You guys having as beautiful a sunrise down there as we are up here?
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful down here.
Yeah, it's, what's the old saying, Reddit morning, sailor's warning? Good thing we don't have any sailors around here, but if they were, they'd have to take warning, because we're getting a nice, just a, oh, the pink's changing to red. Beautiful sunrise out there. We'll have to be dropping this blind down here pretty quick, won't we, Kyle?
Yes. It's,
it gets real bright real quick, and the one window here at the studio just points straight to the east, and so we get some bright sunshine in here in the morning, but beautiful week here at the ranch. Had a little rain early in the week, but beautiful week other than that. Just got hay season wrapped up, and we thank you for joining us. And we got a guest, Brother Nick, out from Illinois. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
We thank you for getting up bright and early this morning and joining us over here. And well, John, you want to open us up in prayer, and then who knows where we'll go from there.
Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly this morning, Lord, and grateful for this time that you saw fit for our pastor to set aside for us to come together and discuss the things of the day, Lord, things that your people, the remnant, may not hear otherwise, and things that may be on their mind. Lord, we pray that you guide and direct us, grant us wisdom and understanding, and that what goes out on the airwaves would be what you want. And Lord, we just pray even now that you would prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls, and that we would focus on what it is that you want your remnant to be focusing on. pray for your blessings on this hour, Lord, and on this day, knowing full well this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Even now we pray for tomorrow, Lord, that you would guide and direct our thoughts, give us wisdom and understanding and the words that your people need to hear, and pray for a special anointing on tomorrow's service, on all aspects of it, Lord, the praise and the music and the communion and sermon and teachings and all of it, Lord. And your word says when two or more gather together, then you're there also, Lord. And we just say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest, and bring your myriads of angels as well, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as usual, plenty going on in the world, from still at war overseas. Southern borders are still wide open. Even the sheriff's associations down there reporting that they're just out of control and have been for years. Wide open. When you have basically amnesty granted to anybody and everybody that comes across. Did catch the news line, the headlines a little bit this week that ISIS terrorists were coming across the southern border. Didn't know if anybody saw or heard anything on that. It was a report. Some congressman out of California was reporting it, and everybody and their brother were jumping on the denial bandwagon. Didn't know how that developed this week. More riots in St. Louis. Nick, I guess when you came through, you didn't have any issues there, huh?
No, we went around it.
Amen. Well, that's good to hear.
Was there a sign? Bypass riots?
Yeah.
You know, highway.
We put in a new bypass for that.
Yeah. And detour. So, yeah, detour around the riots, you know. To participate, turn here. And, you know, we kind of laugh about that, but they all but do have signs when they have that kind of thing, because they said that there were, at one of the first nights of the protests, there were more people from out of state there at the protests than there were there. And they come in from New York, and they come in from Washington, D.C., and they come in and, to use a Bible scripture, stir up the crowds.
Agitators.
The agitators. And they're many times an unseen third party. And it's what they do. And they've become so bold and brazen now that, well, they just let their pictures be taken. You know, they don't deny it. Anyway, so plenty going on, current events. But don't have to check, because we know that Jesus Christ is still on the throne and still directing the affairs of men. And I think we read this last week, but Psalms 2, I think, is where it mentions something that we should, I think, do well to remember. Certainly Psalms 91 should be our hope and our stay. Psalms 2, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords. And there's nothing new. The rulers, the kings, you know, they all come against, whether it's the Supreme Court saying, oh, no, states, we're not going to allow you to ban homosexual marriages in your own state. We make the rules here, and you will allow it.
Well, actually, they just refuse to hear the case, so then it automatically just goes in, the appeal goes right into effect. And all they're doing is setting it up to say that, well, the majority of the states, we're at 30 right now, majority of the states want this, so we're just going to go ahead and make it federal.
The rulers.
That's all they're doing.
The rulers take counsel together and say, yeah, it's our way, not yours. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He says, you really think it's going to be that way? And they think that they're the ones that are doing it and devising it, when all along it's the hand of the Lord that's in there that is, I think, using it as a rod of punishment on his people to get his people to realize how totally insane all this is and to return to him. And the only hope that there is him. Go ahead.
The thing, even these idiots who think, oh, well, what are you worried about, what people do in their bedrooms or whatever, is they're not stopping at homosexuality. It's only a few steps away from pedophilia. And, you know, when you tear down that border of morality between one man and one woman that God established, you open the door to one man and his son, one man and his daughter, one woman. You know, you just open the door to somebody who decides they want to marry their dog, you know.
Yeah, we kind of discussed that a little last night. We had dinner and fellowship last night, and we talked about how those that have been given, God gives them over. I mean, he actually gives them over to a reprobate mind or depraved mind,
yes.
To where they do, all ungodly acts are out the window. There's a seared conscience. They don't have guilt. They don't, you know, and you can see that, you know, I mean, in their walk is, you're right, John. I mean, who knows what goes on, and I don't want to know what goes on. But the fact of the matter is when you're given up by God, when you know, it's just like if a father, you know, gives up on a child, he gives up on him, you know, and it's done. You know, I mean, it's not like, okay, I'm going to give up on you this week and I'm going to take you back next week. God don't work that way. He's not a mind changer. He'll have mercy, and he'll have mercy, and he'll have mercy, and we've all experienced that. But there's a time, and if you read Romans 1, you'll find out that time with the homosexuals happens. And he finally just puts his fist down and says, okay, I'm going to give you up to all this other stuff. And it lists a whole bunch of stuff there in Romans 1 that they turn to. You know what I mean? And they're given up and by God, and their minds are taken over, you know, reprobate.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that personally, actually, locally, in a man who had a skill to, he was actually a very good trim carpenter and very meticulous, and God gave him a gift. And by continuing to access those conduits to demons, whether pornography or alcohol or drugs in excess or illicit sex or whatever it is, God took that gift away. And when he took that gift away, he took away his means of making a living, and eventually gave him over to that depraved mind, and he ended up taking his own life.
Wow.
So the stuff's real.
It is. It is very real. Well, Jason, hadn't heard from you this morning. How are things? Didn't get a chance to tune in. How was your broadcast last night with the Gideon's Armor?
It was fine.
Well, that's good to hear.
We had one thing that I noticed this week is a news story about over in Tanzania. And it was, the headlines were 11, I believe it was 11 witches had been killed and burned. And you know, it's this time of year, you know, everybody, they're talking about the witches, and with upcoming Halloween, everybody, you know, you see the witches and the witch statues and everything all over the place. And I just thought it was interesting that here was 11 of them burned, 23 people were indicted for the attacks on the witches, you know, and it's I don't know. I guess it's big news over in Tanzania, wherever it took place. But it's it's interesting. It's like, you know, they talk about the crime that was committed, but do they ever stop and think about the scripture where it says you're not to permit a sorceress to live, or not to allow a sorceress to live? And that's a New American Standard, but King James used the word witch. And, you know, it's just interesting how far removed from people's minds God's word has become. You know, even, you know, you look at the, like, the Salem witch trials and stuff like that. I mean, you know, there's been several times in history where witches have been killed here in the United States. And, you know, this time of year, it's like everybody just thinks, oh, that was, they just put it in their mind that they were innocent, that they didn't do anything, that they were charged with doing something that they never did, that they weren't guilty of. And, you know, it's there's a reason that God's word says you're not to allow them to live. They're not supposed to be part of your society. And it's just interesting to see people's reactions, because people don't really, they don't understand, and they don't care. I mean, if it was, you know, if you really truly have a love for your neighbor, or a love for your family, or a love for God, or your country, you wouldn't want witches roaming around your land.
Agreed.
And it's just, I don't know, I thought it was interesting, and especially this time of year, you know, now they're coming out trying to say, well, you know, like the Salem witch trials, that they were killed because, oh, they had a certain color of eyes, or their skin was a certain pigmentation. You know, and that's just not the case. They were actually practicing witches.
Yeah, they probably did have a certain color of eyes. It was probably black, as black could be. I mean,
a lot of them had black, and a lot of them had bright red.
Oh, really?
Eyes.
Wow. You know, they just don't believe. I mean, they don't believe the word. They say they believe. You know, they say they believe, and they say that they believe that God can do miracles and stuff. You know, but when it comes right down to it, they don't believe that. They don't believe not only in the power of the dark side, they don't even believe normally in the power of the light side. You know, I mean, they just, I don't know why they want to pretend their whole lives that they are believers, but for some reason they do. And, yeah, you try to explain to them that there's witches, there's ministers of the devil, there's, you know, all these things that the Bible tells you there are, and they say they believe, but yet they don't believe. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew 6:22 says the eye is the lamp of the body. So that if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Something to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Window to the soul.
It is.
Well, it's a little early. Go ahead, Jay. Just going to say a little earlier in the program.
That, you know, you got people that, you know, here's people that overhear from. I've been trying to find as much information on this, on these killings over in Tanzania. And it's interesting because what their reasoning, the people that were arrested behind it, where their reasoning was, is because we love our children. You know, they had to die. They were attacking our children. They were conjuring up demons. They were, you know, attacking, and they were a threat to the children, and that's why they took action. And, you know, they're being made out to be a bunch of crazies. But who's to say that they're not? You know? I mean, it's hard to say when you're thousands of miles away and you don't know anything about the situation, if indeed, you know, they're witches or not. But, you know, when the world's saying that, oh, they're not witches, you know, they didn't deserve to die, you know, it makes you wonder, because we don't know.
Can you imagine? Yeah, and I know why they put that out. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if the remnant awakened to those that are harmful to our children.
That's what they're afraid of.
That's what they're afraid of. Yeah. That's why when a kindergartner bites his Pop-Tart into the shape of a handgun, he gets suspended because of the they and the us. The they are scared to death of us. And so they have to do everything they can. And I think saying, oh, no, these people that killed the so-called witches are crazy. There's no ha-ha-ha such thing as witches. And, you know, the they, those that are the thief, they come to steal, kill, and destroy. They do the deeds of their father, the devil. There's no light in them. It's all darkness. And, you know, they are. They are scared to death of us. And they have to do everything they can. And this is one of the propaganda things I think that they do to keep the us in line so we don't find out. Like you said, Jason, that news story reported that, hey, we had to kill these people because they were coming after our children.
And they're wise enough to counter at the early stage. Whenever some act like this happens, I've noticed they nip it in the bud right away, and that's wise warfare.
Good point.
Wish we would do that. But we seem to kind of want to brush it off for a while, and like a man I was talking to the other day, talking about the homosexuals, and he claims to be a Christian, and he kind of had the attitude of, well, I don't like it, it's not marriage, but, you know, they're not bothering me kind of thing. And so I had to point out, hey, the wrath of God is still real, and when we put up with it, the wrath comes on this country. And, you know, he agreed to it. Another young fellow was listening. He just kind of got up a little closer and listened, so hopefully it planted a seed there. But, yeah, we got to realize that wrath is real, and yes, that God's not going to let us sit on the sidelines and just let this stuff go by. You know, we should be,
yeah, and guess what?
We should be wise like
they don't
them
reproduce.
And start nipping it.
Yeah, they don't reproduce.
They don't reproduce. They recruit.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and that's what we need to realize is they want to recruit my children into their filthy death style, and they want to recruit your children and yours, Kyle, and yours, John, and yours, Jason, and that's who they want to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
And when the remnant awakens to that, because you're right, John, that you said several steps later, after the passage of an acceptance of homosexuality, is pedophilia. No, that's the next step. That is their next step. Because that's, you know, and they will present it as, well, it's just a culture. Because those in the Middle East already have that culture. Pedophilia is alive and well and roaring in the Middle East, over in Saudi Arabia and all the Iran, Iraq, everywhere over there. It is in India. It is in China. It is in all the other cultures of the world.
I didn't realize
it
was still that big tidal wave.
The Muslims
wiped them out.
The Muslims, they're fine with that. And yes, and see, true followers of Christ is a term that has kind of come up recently. True Christians. No, the Bible says, you don't mess with the children. And the Bible defines marriage as between one man and one woman. And it's this war on Christianity. It's this war on the followers of Christ. It's the war on, like we read there, they conspire together against God and against his people and his followers.
Yes.
And it's that way again today.
Well, the Bible does...
Go ahead, Kyle.
I was just going to say that, you know, Satan, the devil, which a lot of people don't believe, just like they don't believe in witches, they don't believe in him. But he is roaring everywhere right now because he knows he only has a short time. Now, his minions don't know that.
Right.
Or at least a lot of them don't know it. They actually think they can win. But he knows, and his ministers know, that they only got a short time. So they're doing as much as they possibly can do because their time is about to run out, you know. And that goes back to the hope that we have that hope. We know that is going to happen. But in the meantime, you know, we're having to pray on the armor every day because it's everywhere. And we got to pray it on our children every day because it's everywhere. And our neighbor, I mean, it's just, it's like, you know, Jason said a million times, it's a war, and people better wake up and realize that they're at war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it comes to that pedophilia, though, I don't know that you can't just stand on the sidelines anymore. It comes a point where it's Melchizedek priesthood kind of time, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to separate yourselves from the world as much as you can, but too many things are impossible to separate yourself from completely.
Right.
I listened to a message by Pastor Peters last week, I think, or maybe the week before, and he's like, you don't want to get caught up in the cares of the world, but you have to care for the world. I mean, and there's right. There's kind of a fine line there, and if we have the seal of God on us, then we have to have on our minds and our hearts that care, that sighing and groaning for what's yes. going on around. I mean, that's a sign of a true Christian that Richard was talking yes. about earlier. We're not supposed to get caught up in the cares of the world, but we need to care for this world. I mean, it's our job. If you're going to be the salt of the earth, you have to care about the earth, right? I mean, yes. and 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's Luke 13 here where at the beginning of it, you know, it has a little headline here in the New American Standard, says call to repent, and it's talking about those, you know, that died there, the 18 that were killed, and it says, you know, because they were asking Christ, well, you know, why did they die? Were they worse sinners than us? You know, and Christ just plainly said it, you know. No, you'll likewise die the same way if you don't repent. You know, you have all these things that come up, you know, and, well, why would God do this? And why? Well, it's because we've polluted our land, you know what I mean? And
the land,
and God cares for this land, and we ought to care for it too. And the pollution that these homos or the pedophilias and all this stuff, I mean, we have to get caught up in it somewhat, you know?
Yes.
Whether, you know...
You know,
go ahead.
You look back at the heathen nations, and that's what they were. They were retrograde. You know, these are the things that they're bringing back into society, and it all comes down to one thing: we didn't do what we were supposed to do as the early Israelites and wipe them out, bash their little ones' heads against the rock, and now they've come back to haunt us, more so to speak.
Joshua yep. warned about that. There'll be thorns in our sides if we don't do our duty and get rid of them like we didn't. And,
yeah.
Yeah, thorns in the side kind of comes to mind with Joshua's speech at the end of his life.
Yeah. See, it's time. We have... this ministry has put out the truth of the gospel. You know, you have to believe, you have to repent, you have to be baptized to be born again, to join in, to share in the death of Christ, in the glory of his death, the Bible says, so we can share in the glory of his resurrection. You have to do that. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts. Okay? But the other thing, that once you've done that, now we know you have to live do your best to love your neighbor. If your enemy's not God's enemy, you're to love your enemy. We understand that. But it's time to become, and I think that time is drawing real near, it's time to get angry. It's time to get angry and sin not. And because I think the time of the Saul and the Ammonites is coming back. If you flip over to 1 Samuel 11, and this is Saul that he turned away from God, but right here he had not done that. And he was no more perfect than any of us. And we are no more perfect than he was. But 1 Samuel 11, the people are under siege. And it says, Nahash the Ammonite came up, besieged Jabesh-Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we'll serve you. We'll get along. We just want to get along. You know, we just want to tend our fields and have our families. And so, you know, they know that, hey, we just want to get along. You know, we just want to live at peace. We'll serve you. We'll pay the tax. We'll give you half of our produce out of the field. We just want to get along. Nahash the Ammonite said to them, I'll make it with you on this condition, that I'll gouge out the right eye of every one of you. Thus I will make it a reproach on all Israel. See, he comes together and he mocks God, and he mocks God by mocking God's people. And so the elders said, well, let us alone for 7 days, that we may send messengers throughout the territory of Israel. Then if there's no one to deliver us, we'll come out to you. And it doesn't say it, but it says, we'll let you gouge out our right eye, and we'll still give you half of everything we have. Then the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and spoke these words. And it says in verse 5, now behold, Saul was coming from the field behind the oxen. And I think, I know this comes right after he's chosen king, which I think is kind of funny because he's out working the fields. But it says, and he said, what's the matter with the people that they weep? So they related the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became very angry. Now, maybe he loved less. I guarantee you know what to you, he loved less. He was mad as all get out. He became angry. He became angry like David became angry at Goliath for cursing him and cursing his God.
And it says, holy hate.
It absolutely is. It says, then he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout the territory of Israel by the messengers, saying, whoever does not come out after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen. Then the dread of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out as one man. And they struck down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And he said, not in my land. But it wasn't him. It was, it says, the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that we have to pray for, is that that comes on. I know we think we're ready. We want to be ready. You know, we love our children. We love our neighbors' children. And we want them safe and protected. And oh, for that Spirit of God to come and to move upon the land to wipe this evil out. And it's coming. Yeah, I think it's coming. I don't know. I hope it comes before the Lord returns. I do. Well, guys, the phones are ringing. Let's go over to it. Hey, welcome to Saturday morning. Thanks for holding, caller.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Wranglers. It's Caleb in South Carolina. I just wanted to make y'all aware. There's been a lot of little noises, almost kind of like audio sound effects coming through the air during the broadcast. I guess for about the last 10 or 15 minutes. I didn't know if you knew about it, but I wanted to make you aware of it.
All right. What's it sound
what
like, Caleb?
To Caleb? Are you unsure?
I don't know. It's almost kind of wacky sounding. They're like little second clips of like door squeaking or whatever. I'm not quite sure how to describe it.
How are you listening, Caleb? Internet or shortwave?
On my iPhone.
On your iPhone? That should be a pretty solid stream. Well, we sure appreciate it. We'll have to maybe get back and listen to the recording and see if we can track it down. How have you been
all
doing?
Right.
How have you been doing, Caleb?
I've been doing pretty good. The Lord has been blessing me, and right now I'm just kind of finding my way in the world, trying to get going with my my endeavors, my media, and so everything is coming along all right so far.
Well, good. Well, keep the faith. And I think it's Jeremiah says, the Lord says he knows the plans he has for you and their plans to prosper you. You know, many times we have to learn patience and perseverance for that to happen. But do that. We know you're a young man, but you love the Lord and serve him. And just stay on that path, son. All right?
Thank you. I sure will. And I appreciate your prayers every time.
All right, Caleb. Thank you. Thanks for
all
the
right.
call.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
All right. I don't know if we're getting a little echo, chirp, or something. Good morning, caller. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Richard, Jason, Kyle, John, and Nick. This is George from
morning.
Illinois.
Morning, George.
Good morning, George.
Guys. Hey, I just wanted to call you and let you know that I heard some new numbers on abortion this week. From what I heard is 1,000 babies a day.
300,000
babies a year. And over here in Illinois, they're getting ready to have a new, they're voting for new governors this year, and all the governors that they're putting up, from what I understand, are all pro-choice. So that gives us, for those that do vote out there, doesn't give you much of a choice. So it's a pretty sad situation there. But also, what I hear is coming on strong now is the euthanasia. On the radio station, I heard there was, I think, 4, maybe 5 states in America that are have made euthanasia legal. It's real big in the Netherlands, from what I hear. And the problem with that is they're making it to where even if you don't want it, they're going to make it to where somebody can issue it to you because based on if they think you're crazy or a wacko or a kook. So basically what that says is if they don't like the way you think, they can legally give you a shot to kill you. So I hear that that's coming on strong, so beware.
Yeah, yep. We talked a little bit Thursday night about assisted suicide and suicide, and I'd mentioned it to Kyle because he's from Oregon and he had heard about it. See if I got it here, but there were, I guess the Oregon, you know, oh, they call it a right to life or some stupid thing like that. You know, they call a if they make it legal for you to try to kill yourself, that's a right to life. But yeah, we throw 1,000 babies a day into the River Nile, and that's a woman's right.
Yeah.
No, it's a bloody sacrifice. But that there's been, just in Oregon, over 700 since, what, 1997, I think is what it said,
yeah,
that have done that very thing, that have gone in and, I'm dying, give me a shot or a pill, and have gotten the prescription from medical doctors,
right,
and taken it and killed themselves.
Yeah,
over 700 just in Oregon.
Yeah, and what the one of the big things with that is, you know, a lot of these elderly that have a little bit of money saved up in the bank, you know, their children are going to be just as happy to go along with it to kill off their old grandma or grandpa because they can get in tapped into their bank account for it. So.
Yeah, that's the way it's become, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About no different than when they built the Tower of Babel. Somebody'd fall off the tower and die, and they'd be more worried about, you know, the brick that hit the ground and broke than it was the human life that was lost. We're pretty close.
Yeah, you know, you have no right in the eyes of God to take your own life. I think that just, you know, God's the giver of life. And Ralph and I got to talk a little bit about it on Thursday night, and he brought up some good points of that, is that you tie God's hands. You know, Hezekiah was dying. They told him, you're done for, bud. Get your house in order. He cried to God. God healed him and gave him 15 more years. And we've seen things like that happen in our lifetime. We've seen healings. Now, did they eventually die? We all eventually die.
Yeah, I've heard several things with that. I don't know whether or not that's an automatic damnation if you do it or not. Well,
yeah, and I don't. It's I think it's a sin, but you know, we all have sin.
Well, the problem with it is,
you're not alive to repent.
You can't repent, right. So that's up to God, how he deals with it in the afterlife. But, you know, here now, it does. It's, you know, Jesus Christ said, I came that they may have life abundantly. We are the they there. He came that we, that his remnant, his people, and I think those that would choose to follow him and obey him would have life and life abundantly. What does the enemy do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're having...
When they give you all that pharmakia and all them pills that they have, most of them have, or a lot of them anyway, have a note on the back that says, you know, mate, if you have any thoughts of suicide...
Yeah, they're going to be increased a hundredfold.
Not taking it immediately.
Well, and that way they cover themselves.
Right.
Yeah,
they,
but
I don't know.
Hey, I got news.
Blind. They don't see that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I got news
for
you.
Anyway, I figured I'd just call you and say howdy, everybody. Hope you guys have a good weekend.
Thank you, George.
Thanks,
you
George.
Too.
Thank you.
All right. John, go ahead.
I got news for you. The Bible has the cure. It's under Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. It says, the cure for anxiety. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And they all said,
Amen, that's for sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's godliness with contentment, and our people aren't content. I mean,
it's godliness from contentment, being content with what he gives you.
It says that is great gain, you know, and it's talking about those that want to be rich. I mean, that is great gain to us if we just realize it, but we want to covet the neighbor's truck and it adds stress that we don't need. Every day has enough problems without all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Hold that thought, John. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. John, go ahead. What you were saying, man, I won't interrupt you.
So, I was just saying, you know, the Bible's clear, too, in Luke 12, 4 through 5. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you from who to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Josh.
Good morning, man.
Good morning.
How are y'all this morning? I was wondering if any of you all are familiar with this blood moon happening and the lunar eclipses and all that stuff. Jason, I don't know if you had looked into it or anything, but we have a quote unquote Christian youth retreat camp. It's I guess about 20 miles from here, and I found out something last night. I was talking to a man, and he said that there's about 500 Jews assembled there right now this weekend. They had scheduled, you know, to use the camp and what have you. And that a lot of them are camping out. You know, they're not even staying in the buildings or whatever, so they can be outside. And he was putting two and two together, and he said, you know, I thought about it as soon as I found out they were coming. He said, there's something with this blood moon deal. And, you know, there's something they get from that, some kind of power or something, because I know the Jews are big on the signs and what have you. And I was just wondering if any of you all were familiar with the blood moon thing.
Yeah, they say that it's almost like they worship it. You know, they've always been heavy on red moons, and the blood moon is supposed to be like so many times more powerful than a red moon. So, I mean, it stands to reason. I know that I heard several different places that they had groups that were assembling. You know, they don't tell you that they're assembling to worship it. They tell you they're assembling to observe it. But, you know, it's made me wonder more than once looking at it. It's interesting that you bring it up.
Well, at any rate, I know the thing I do know is that there's 500 Jews 20 miles from here that are assembled. So I would like to have you men get together and pray about it and bind them and not have any, strip them of their power, let them not be able to get to their God, and having to be jumping around and cutting themselves, and there be no fire. Yeah.
Well, how many Baal prophets were there? 750, and you know,
at least.
We need that spirit of Elijah and know that, hey, we can mock their gods just like Elijah did. You know, we can say, what, is he sleeping? I mean, we really can't do that. But we have to have the right hearts, the right minds, and the right spirit. And I mean, 750 prophets was nothing. You know, was absolutely nothing. I guarantee you, 500 Jews is nothing. Their God is a joke. You know, I mean, I'm not saying there's not power to the dark side. I'm just saying that all our power, if we would just grab a hold of it and take it, is so much more, so much greater, yes, that we don't have to worry about that stuff. If we do what Elijah did and come against it.
Jason, why don't you go ahead and agree against that right now?
Yeah, come against it. We'll sure be in agreement.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come together right now. We come before you and we just lift up those that would come and conjure up any demonic forces of hell, spiritual forces of wickedness, anything that would come against your people, Father. We come before you and we lift up those that would worship this moon or worship these powers and not worship you, Father. We take the authority which is ours and we bind, bundle, and escort them to your feet and ask that you do with them as you see fit. But see to it that they can have no power against us, no power against any of our kinsmen across this country, Father. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the powers of hell, the spiritual forces of wickedness that come against us. We pray that you grant us victory against them as we come against them in the spiritual warfare, that you've given us weapons that are more powerful than theirs, Father. We are grateful for that. We ask that you guide us and direct us in all that we do, and that you give us strength, wisdom, and knowledge and understanding, Father, and help us to see how our enemies are preparing for battle so that we can come against them victoriously in your name. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray that these men that are scheming and conjuring, Lord, as they come before their God, I pray that when their prayers aren't answered, Lord, that their faith, their belief is shaken, that they're broken, and I pray that it ultimately leads to their death, Lord, if they're not of us, so that they can repent, Lord, and come to you. I pray this would be their destruction. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, if you want to pray a powerful prayer, look at this month's prayer that I think Richard's got it listed up there now, and it's going to be in the newsletter, but it's specifically targeting the Freedom from Religion Foundation, and I think we need to realize that once our obedience is complete, God is going to punish their disobedience, and it's all about faith. We got to get to that point where we have the faith of a mustard seed, where we know when we pray, just like Elijah did, that we don't even question whether or not it'll be done. We know, we trust that it will be done. And I think something significant happened just a couple weeks ago and again this week, and that was the anointing, unanointing and anointing of the forefathers' monument, which stood for what early Christianity, true Christianity, before it was perverted, stood for. And then this week, even an Acres of Diamond man jumped on his Harley and put the woman that he loved on the back and went and anointed the Georgia Guidestones. And I think Satan's kingdom took a significant blow right then. And what I prayed was that God would re-etch those commandments with his Ten Commandments and remove the Antichrist New World Order Ten Commandments, or topple it down, whatever he sees fit. But we just got to remember how many times in the Bible does it say that we will do greater things than even what Jesus did once our obedience is complete?
Well, it was awesome to me just to hear this person who's not a church member or whatever, he's not someone that I've expected out of, to put that together and recognize it and say it, because that took courage just for him to, because he confronted the man that owns the camp on it, and he said, look, they did it anyway, but that was an answer to prayer there, and that was very encouraging to me.
Well, look, they're paying $5,000 for the week, so pouring themselves for money.
Actually, in this case, it's not. The guy that owns the camp, he's a millionaire, and he's done a lot of good things, but he is under that spell of the lie that the Jews are God's chosen people.
Oh, yeah. Deceived.
But anyway, great job, fellas, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Josh.
Got a few minutes left, 307-745-5913. And, guys, got a young family, Matt and Matthew and Cassie, and Cassie is still in labor. Haven't had that baby yet, so why don't we offer up a prayer just a prayer to God for them. Heavenly Father, we do lift this Christian, young, growing Christian family up to you, Lord, Matthew and Cassie, and Father, we ask you to send your midwifery angels to be there with them, Lord. Lord, send your peace to be upon them, your grace and your mercy. Lord, send your strength. Strengthen Matthew and Cassie both through this time of labor. And Lord, let them know that, Father, we know they love you. Remind them that you work all things for good, that, Lord, everything is in your timing. And so, Father, due dates come and go, and, babies still come after just fine. And so, Lord, let your peace that surpasses all understanding be upon them, Lord. Let them know that you are with them. You are an ever-present help. And, Father, be with them. We pray for Cassie, Lord, that you would just, Lord, let her be the mother she needs to be, Father. Let her have this child. And, Lord, let there be no complications. Let it just be smooth and easy. And Lord, let it be, Father, let it be glorifying to you. We thank you for this family, Lord. We thank you that you've brought them together, that you've blessed them. And we pray for your continued blessings to be upon them, Father. We pray your protection on them. Father, send just legions of angels to go down and to protect them and to encircle their house and their family and keep them from all harm and all evil and keep all the evil ones away from them. And let your blessings be on them and this new child. And Lord, we pray for this baby. Lord, we pray for the spouse of this baby, that it comes as it is soon to come into this world, Lord. And we pray your blessings on them as a family, Lord, as part of the family of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name, thanking you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we lift up our brother Bill too this weekend, Lord. And he has a big gun show, and he needs a good show, Lord. And I just pray that you would open those doors that need to be opened and close the doors that need to be closed. And I pray that as he debuts this God Save America t-shirt and he continues to hand out the God Save America DVDs by the hundreds, that would be the wake-up call that America needs, Lord, that would break the spell, Lord, remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they would see the truth, Lord, and then they would seek out the truth, and they would find that they need to be properly baptized. And Heavenly Father, I pray that the seeds that I planted here several weeks ago and continue to plant that, Lord, those seeds would grow in your people's minds and that they would be convicted of what they need to do, Lord. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray all these things, and we thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, there's the hour. It just flies by these days. And but we do thank you for joining us, Remnant, and we want to invite you to come to church with us. You can do that tomorrow at scriptures4america.org. You don't have to get dressed up. You don't even have to leave your house if you have a computer and a good internet connection. Just go to our website, scriptures4america.org, at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast, and join us for a two-hour service. We'll have a... John, I think you're bringing a little message in the morning.
Yeah.
So we do encourage you to be there at 10 o'clock for a live message from the Ramrod. He has some things to share with the Remnant. And then Shannon and I will be there with some good music, some praise and worship and song. And Kyle, you're up for communion tomorrow?
Sure.
So Kyle will bring a communion message, and we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message from our pastor. And so we encourage you to get your Bible down off the shelf. Blow that dust off of it if it's collected a lot of dust. Oh, that our Bibles were a little bit more like Nick's. He's, you know, you see some dog-eared pages there, and you know that it gets use. And that's how our Bibles should be. They should be well-read and well-used. And you come tomorrow, bring your Bible, and there'll be some scripture verses for you to join in and read and mark and highlight and think about and be blessed by. So, well, men, again, thanks for joining us. And Remnant, we thank you for tuning in. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. If you want to send us an email, our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. And again, thanks, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.